You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Osama bin Laden's death has been greeted in the United States with spontaneous gatherings outside the White House and at Ground Zero, but the reaction throughout the Middle East has been more complex. Joining me now for a look at the impact of bin Laden on the Arab world is David E. Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for The New York Times. His Washington Report is broadcast every Monday morning on our sister station, WQXR, and I'm pleased to welcome him back to our show today. Hello.
Great to be with you, Leonard.
Have the protests over the past 4 months in Tunisia, Egypt, Yemen, Syria, Jordan, and Morocco affected the reaction to news of Osama bin Laden's death?
You know, in some ways, I think it marked a turning away from al-Qaeda and its theology before the killing of Osama bin Laden last night. What was notable on the streets in Cairo and throughout the Middle East, there were no photographs of Osama bin Laden. There was no discussion of al-Qaeda as a force. There was no death to America. And so long before this happened, you already heard President Obama talking about a competing narrative arising in which there would be a peaceful move to reform instead of the kind of violent change that al-Qaeda had represented. And, of course, al-Qaeda had it in for Hosni Mubarak and many of the other rulers around the region who have since been either displaced or under pressure.
And a number of those embattled leaders have suggested an al-Qaeda involvement in the protests against them.
Right, but we haven't seen any evidence of that. Now, that could change. These protests frequently create a vacuum. That's certainly true in Yemen. It certainly appears to be growing in Libya. And we've seen the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is a far more mild form of Islam, in Egypt. So it's very possible that since revolutions are rarely completed by those who start them, that you could see al-Qaeda benefit. But my guess is that it's going to be a lot harder for them now because Osama bin Laden may not have run operations for many years, but he was the really truly powerful symbol. And many in the administration made the point to us in their briefings last night about this remarkable counterterrorism operation and how it came together, that there really is no one in al-Qaeda who can command the kind of appeal that Osama bin Laden managed to. Zawahiri, his number two, simply doesn't have the charisma that Osama bin Laden did.
Can we expect reaction in the Middle East to break down along sectarian lines? Would Shiites be happier about his death than Sunnis?
Well, certainly so. But I think the main reaction is going to come from an extremist part of the Sunni world, and you may be seeing that strongest of all in places like Pakistan and perhaps Afghanistan. There could be reaction as well in other places, including Saudi Arabia, though it's under such tight control. Saudi Arabia is, of course, where Osama bin Laden was born. We've already heard some reports of some protests in Pakistan, and I think it's Pakistan that really is the most complicated relationship now. Because when you think about this, Leonard, in the end, they did not find Osama bin Laden up in the Northwest Territories in some ungoverned territory where the Pakistanis can say they knew nothing about it. He was in a prosperous suburb 35 miles from Islamabad, right next to a military academy in a neighborhood full of retired and non-retired military and intelligence officials. And it's going to be a pretty tough case for the Pakistanis to make that no one knew he was there.
So how do you think that'll put a further strain on relations between the United States and Pakistan, which have already been kind of strained because of the drone strikes and Pakistani citizens being really upset about the United States even operating in their country? And then, of course, there was the recent killing, the shooting by the man who was working for the CIA.
Davis, yeah. Right. Yes, I think we are, you know, we've been in a very bad phase with Pakistan, and if I had to guess, we're headed to an even more difficult one. Because as the White House made clear last night, they did not tell Pakistan that they were coming in because they were fearful of leaks to Osama bin Laden and those around him. They came in with a SEALs force and probably a CIA force that was moved into a sovereign territory. It's exactly what President Obama said he would do during the campaign, that if he found Osama bin Laden anywhere in the world, it would not make any difference whose sovereign territory that was. And so I suspect you're going to see a lot of tension back and forth. In fact, it took 6 hours for the Pakistani government to even figure out what to say.
Well, haven't we been giving a lot of money to the ISA?
Are
we trying to buy them off? Is that it?
We have given a lot of money to the Pakistani military to run counterterrorism operations, roughly $1 billion a year. And there's been a lot of question about whether that money was well spent at all, whether the Pakistanis were doing the job they were supposed to be doing up in Waziristan. But what we now know is that he was this close to the capital, and actually General Kiani, who runs the military, was up in this town at one of those military bases right by the house just a month ago, proclaiming what a great job Pakistan was doing in counterterrorism. And what they didn't know was Osama bin Laden was living next door.
A spokesperson for
we hope they didn't know it.
Yes, well, that's a whole other issue. When somebody builds a McMansion in the Hamptons, all the neighbors complain. Here you have this huge building with barbed wire and all sorts of other things that would call attention to it.
It was a one-acre compound. I don't know if you've looked at the satellite photographs of this thing, but it certainly stands out in the neighborhood.
I asked earlier whether somebody just looking at Google Earth might not have spotted that there was an anomaly there.
Well, I think you had to know what to look for and what an anomaly it would be.
Well, is that what we pay those CIA experts to be looking for?
Right, and they found it. I mean, that was sort of the remarkable thing. They matched up a report about a courier, which they had gotten from interrogations from some of the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay, and they matched that up with the movements of people in and out of this rather suspicious house. The thing is, they never actually saw Osama bin Laden in it, so they knew there was what they call a HVT, a high-value target in the house, but they didn't know for sure who that was.
A spokesperson for the Pakistan Taliban said that in the last 16 hours that President Zardari and the military are their top targets, followed by the United States. So the Taliban right now, at least the Pakistani Taliban, sees itself as a sister organization to Al-Qaeda. Hasn't there been talk in the past about the two having certain tensions and a certain split having developed?
Yes, and you know, I think this is a complex relationship. You know, it's been 10 years since 9/11. Power has shifted really away from Al-Qaeda Central toward some of the Al-Qaeda outposts in Yemen and elsewhere, toward the Taliban, toward the Haqqani network. So it has not been a stable system. But certainly Al-Qaeda and the Taliban fed off of each other. But that's going to create a lot of tensions in Pakistan. Here at home, I suspect you're going to hear a lot of people question why we need to remain in Afghanistan if Al-Qaeda has really been dealt such a crippling blow, because in the end, the reason the United States is in Afghanistan is to keep it from being a safe haven again. And I think that's probably after the initial reaction to Osama bin Laden's death has passed. I wouldn't be surprised if you hear that debate come up again in just the next few days.
Does this have any impact on President Obama's standing in the Arab world? Does it change perceptions of him and his reaction to the Arab Spring?
Well, it may well. You'll remember that in Pakistan, President Obama is already highly unpopular, and he has used a lot of force there. The drone strikes are running at a pace 3 or 4 times what they were at the end of the Bush administration. The reaction in the Arab world, it's going to be very interesting to see. I'm sure it will be quite heavily divided because opinions about Osama bin Laden were quite divided. And yet, you know, this is what President Obama said during his acceptance speech for the Nobel Peace Prize, which was sometimes in order to keep the peace, you have to order up significant acts of violence. And it did not sound at the time that you heard that as if it was exactly what the Nobel Peace Prize Committee had in mind to hear at that speech. But, you know, we have discovered about President Obama that there's a real hard-headed pragmatism about it. You've seen it in the Arab Spring. You've seen it in his reactions, differing reactions to how to deal with, say, Libya and Syria and Bahrain, all of which he's handled differently. And it's been a set of actions really related to American interests. And you saw that again with the decision to go out and kill bin Laden. I guess it's conceivable they could have taken him into custody, but I don't know anybody who thought that that was a serious likelihood.
Well, that's what happened with Saddam Hussein, and he was hanged, and many objected to that. The White House said that his body, that bin Laden's body, was prepared for burial in accordance with Muslim tradition, and he was buried at sea. Was that a way of trying to dampen outrage throughout the Muslim world?
You know, I'm not certain what it was, but if I had to guess, Leonard, what I would guess is that they did not want to have a place like Saddam Hussein's grave spot, which becomes a place that people come to regard Osama bin Laden as a martyr. They didn't want a gathering place. By burying him at sea, you eliminate that possibility.
The late Ambassador Richard Holbrooke was seen as crucial to our diplomatic efforts in Pakistan. Do you have a sense of how his death has changed our relationship there?
Well, he was dealing a bit more in Afghanistan than in Pakistan. And the big question is, can one reach some kind of political settlement with the Taliban that would help speed America's way out of Afghanistan? And that is certainly what Ambassador Holbrooke was working toward at the time of his death. In fact, the last time I had breakfast with him, which was about 10 days before, he was stricken with a heart ailment that ultimately caused his death. He was talking at length about his plans to do just that this year. But right now, we don't have any particular evidence that the Taliban are willing to play in a significant way in such negotiations. And it's not entirely clear what their incentive should be, because they think the United States is going to begin leaving Afghanistan this summer, as President Obama has said. There will be some troop reductions that begin this summer and continue to sort of reverse the surge. And under those conditions, it may be that the Taliban consider that their best option is to wait the United States out. On the other hand, they may have had some more grudging respect for President Obama's approach to these issues in an area where sort of power rules by how they dealt with Osama bin Laden and the story of the counterterrorism strike that identified and then hit this compound.
Aren't you in Brussels now?
I am indeed.
What has the European reaction been? Or you're near NATO headquarters?
I'm at the NATO headquarters, and I came over here to talk to NATO officials, largely about Libya, when all of this happened. But so far, the European reaction has been a little bit more muted than what you saw in Times Square and out at Ground Zero last night and this morning.
Despite fears of al-Qaeda attacks in Europe,
there are continued Spain and
London, et cetera, there have been real problems.
There are definitely continued fears of that, and I suspect that many of the counterterrorism officials are on very high alert. But Osama bin Laden never created the kind of emotional impact that he had in the United States because of the searing events of 9/11.
David E. Sanger is the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times, and his Washington Report is broadcast every Monday morning on our sister station, WQXR. Thank you so much for talking with us again.
Thank you.
And we've been talking about the Arab world's reaction to the death of Osama bin Laden.